I recently got back from a visit to my heart doctor in Anchorage. A number of years ago, I had to have a stent put in, as one of the main arteries of my heart was 100% blocked. Who knew that could even happen? At any rate, thanks to a combination of family genetics and my own sometimes iffy food choices, I had to have my ticker worked on, resulting in a cardiologist in Anchorage that likes for me to check in with her about once a year. This year, she was happy with me. The numbers that count weren't too bad, and I lost 25 pounds over the last time she saw me. I bring up that weight loss not because it's any great thing, but because it seems like at the end of every calendar year, I resolve to be better about my eating and lose some pounds, something that seems to be needed annually. This year, as another year winds down, I can honestly say I made some documented headway, though it's something of a moving target. And here we are again, at the brink of another year ending and the cusp of another one beginning. Even with that 25 less that's now official in her folder marked Fuller, Terry, the fact is the whole weight loss thing is something I need to stay atop of, and there's always room for improvement. Or, put another way, it's always a consideration for a New Year's resolution. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. The setting of New Year's resolutions is nothing new, not on this program and not at all going back for thousands of years. The Babylonians made promises to their gods at the start of each new year that they would return things they had borrowed from others and pay off any outstanding debts. Frankly, that's not a bad place to start for a lot of us still today, myself included. The Romans began each year by making promises to improve themselves to the god Janus, whose name, by the way, is where we get the name for January. I don't think there's any existing evidence about whether those improvements for the Romans involved weight loss or giving up vices. During medieval times, knights took the peacock vow at the end of each year to reaffirm their commitment to chivalry. From time to time today, you'll hear that chivalry is dead. Maybe we just need to resurrect peacock vows for today's menfolk. Back on resolutions, similar such traditions exist across any number of religions, and usually tied to repentance, forgiveness, or self-improvement. Again, it's just not a new concept. Today, people continue to make resolutions to begin each new year, or at least a good portion do, whether it's a half-hearted, ha-ha kind of thing, or in earnest. There are some studies that have indicated that those who set resolutions actually do stand a better chance of seeing those goals come to pass. For example, one Gallup poll from a few years back found that as many as half of those who made common resolutions, such as weight loss, exercise programs, or quitting smoking, were over 10 times likely to succeed when compared to those who did not make resolutions. What comes to mind for me about people setting resolutions at the start of the year is something like those old black and white movie segments that show hundreds of land rush folks in their covered wagons tearing out from the starting point as the gun goes off to signal the beginning. Most fall away pretty quickly as they realize the enormity of the task in front of them. A few make it through to the end. To my way of thinking, resolutions can be kind of like that. And by the way, any idea what the top three resolutions are that are put forward by people each year? A university study not long ago identified the following: lose weight, eat better, get more organized, and spend less, save more. Raise your hand if you've ever committed to do better at one or more of those to start a new year. Yeah, I thought so. Pretty much everyone. If you're currently driving, go ahead and put your hand back on the steering wheel now. The thing is, actual lasting change is hard, isn't it? Of course it is. If it wasn't, we'd all change much more readily, more often. In that same survey, only 8% of those surveyed said they were successful in their resolutions through the whole year, though I would note that people who explicitly made a resolution were 10 times more likely to succeed in changing what they wanted to change. Here's what I get from that. Resolutions can be hard to keep, but those who make a conscious effort at seeing a need for and wanting change stand a better chance of seeing change occur. Food for thought if you're considering a resolution or two this year. I don't sit down and write out resolutions anymore, other than what I type here as I put together this episode, but I do go into each new year with some ideas about things I'd like to change, and often those things are pretty specific. Some people are much more open to change than others, but the Greek philosopher Heraclitus hit it on the head. The only thing that is constant is change. It's coming, whether we want it or not. For some, resolutions offer an opportunity to meet it head-on and have some input about the direction some of that change will go. Over the years, there have been any number of things on the Refuge Facebook news feed that have caught my eye with regards to resolutions. I remember one from Bass Pro Shops a few years back. They had a split photo that had two sides. On the left was a hand holding a remote in front of a TV. On the right was a silhouette of a guy on a boat, fishing. Across the top it said, "Spend less time here," by the remote, "and more time here," by the guy fishing. The Bureau of Land Management, Royal Gorge Recreational Area, had one I really liked one year. It was a dandy photo album of outdoor scenes. Each had a resolution at the top. Those resolutions were things along the lines of get exercise outdoors more, get out and explore more, take better photos, hang out with friends, take more calculated risks, volunteer for a project on public lands, enjoy the weather, spend more nights outdoors, see more wildlife, and take the road less traveled. All of those were, I thought, excellent outdoor-related resolutions. Yet another is shared by Wild River Guides, a more local company. They guide on Togiak Refuge. Said simply, 2014, dream it, do it, love it. 2014 being the year it targeted. I thought that one to be very simple and yet extremely powerful. To me, the key is that middle part of it. Dreaming's nice, and we often love what we do after the fact, but the key is actually getting out there and making it happen for real. You know, the resolution part of the whole thing. Any and all of us can plan or have good intentions. The trick is to make it happen. There have been a few years that I've shared some of my own resolutions. I've never went back and checked to see what my own percentage is, overall, as far as succeeding, but I don't think I've done too bad. For example, the whole weight thing. There was a lot of up and down during 2017, but in the end I clocked in at 25 pounds less. To me, that seems like something of a success. It will be an ongoing thing, I get that. Like I said a minute ago, the trick is to make it happen, to keep it going forward. Exercise how and when I can, try to face down that other beast, watching my eating, each and every day, and bit by bit, make some progress. Another one for which I fought the good fight this year, though I'm still way short of where I want to be, is in getting my daughters outside and helping them to harvest their first big game animals. We did spend more time at the range this year. They do now each have their own centerfire rifles for the purpose of killing big game. Those two alone were resolutions in past years. And we made a trip to the Cape for caribou in the fall. Alas, the animals were scarce on our side of the lake and we came away empty, though we still had a mighty good time. Camping is almost always a good time, especially when it's with your kids. I continue to try and whittle away on what I think of as a bucket list for firearms that I'd like to own someday. I'm not sure how much I think of that as a New Year's resolution, but it is a goal, and I tend to look back over the course of another year in the book to see if I've made any headway. Last year was mostly about getting the girls their rifles. I did knock one off my own list, a Savage Model 24. If you're not familiar with this gun, it was made by Savage during the last century. I think production trickled out in something like the late 80s. It's a break-action gun that has a rifle barrel over a shotgun barrel. Mine is a 1973 production model that's designated a 24V. It has a 30-30 barrel over a 20-gauge. I'm still tinkering with it, but I look forward to hunting with it in 2018 and harvesting game with it. So that's certainly a resolution for the new year for me, as well as the continued effort to see my daughters kill a caribou or a moose. Those are just a few resolutions tied to the outdoors. I have others, but hey, this is Bristol Bay Field Notes, right? Even if I do stretch that a little at times. Fact is, a new year is very much in front of all of us, whether we like to set resolutions or not. It is kind of a neat idea, though. I mean, who doesn't like the idea of a reset button or a fresh start? We all have things we'd like to change, whether we admit to them or not. That's what a new calendar year represents. a point from which to start a do-over. And it's why we set resolutions. We want to do better, and it gives us a fixed point in time from which to launch a new assault. In my opinion, there is nothing wrong with that at all. I think that in everything we do, there's always room for a bit of improvement or to know more, and it behooves us to be moving in that direction. In closing, I would say only this. Be thinking about what it is you want to be doing and achieving outdoors in the coming year. The clock is ticking. In fact, it's always ticking. Take advantage of any and all time you can to spend outdoors while you can. Never take anything for granted, and savor those things that bring you passion and joy. Best of wishes on a great start to 2018, everyone. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.